This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam to the continuation of our explanation of the Hanbali text, Kitabu Furu' al-Fiqhi, by the great Hanbali scholar of al-Islam, Yusuf ibn Abdul Hadi al-Hanbali rahimahullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, the author states, وَالْخَامِسُ الْجِهَادِ. And the fifth matter we are discussing now is the book of Jihad, insha'Allah. Walhamdulillah, we've gone through Salah, Zakah, Siyam, Hajj. We also went through Tahara because it was a precondition to the pillar of Salah, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, now Al-Jihad. Remember that just like Tahara and Salah, they have preconditions, they have wajibat, they have arkan, pillars, they have matters which nullify them. The same with regards to Jihad. Jihad, also a chapter in fiqh, and it has all of that included within it. It is not something that myself, my cousin and my uncle get together and we decide what is best. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we have some of the Sahaba who were of the opinion that Jihad is the sixth pillar of Al-Islam. The author states, الخامس الجهاد مع كل بر وفاجر. It is fought with every righteous and not so righteous leader. Whether the leader is righteous and pious, or whether this individual is a fajir, this individual is a fasik, this individual is not righteous, but this person is the imam of the Muslims, then we fight under their command, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Otherwise, you will have fawda, you will have chaos. وَهُوَ فَرْضُ كِفَايَةٍ. The asl, the basic default rule with regards to jihad is that it's a communal obligation. And that's more especially true with regards to jihad al-talab, with regards to offensive jihad. The default ruling is that it is fard kifaya, it is a communal obligation. But sometimes it becomes a personal obligation. The author states, وَاجِبٌ مَعَ مُفَاجَأَةِ الْعَدُوِ. That if the enemy pounces upon you, if the enemy surrounds you, if the aggressor is upon you, then it's an obligation, a personal obligation to obviously fend off this enemy. And so we state that jihad becomes fard ain, personal obligation, when number one, the enemy lays siege to you, or number two, the aggressor is pouncing and attacking you, or number three, al-istinfar, where the imam of the Muslims gives a general call or a call to specific groups of Muslims that they need to rise up and they need to fight. Now it becomes an obligation upon them. Or number four, it might have been a communal obligation. You gave your name for the expedition and you went out, you are on the battlefield, and then you decide, you know what, no, this is not for me, I'm going back home. No, you cannot do that. Why? Because now you are in the thick of matters. You are in the battlefield, on the battlefield, you're in the middle of the battle, you cannot flee, you cannot return, you have to fight. And so it becomes fard'ain upon you, walhamdulillah. While you were at your home for this expedition, it was fard kifaya, communal obligation. But you gave your name and now you are present, now it becomes a personal obligation upon you, walhamdulillah. وَهُوَ مُشْتَمِلٌ عَلَى. And we will be covering the مُقَاتِل, the مُقَاتَل, the مَغْنُوم, and مُصَالَحَ. We will cover the مُقَاتِل, the مُجَاهِد, the fighter. We'll talk about the one who we fight against. The مُقَاتَل, the مَغْنُوم, the spoils of war, the booty. We'll also talk about مُصَالَحَ, which is agreements that we might have with the enemy. We might have a treaty. We might have cessation of hostilities. We will discuss, insha'Allah. Number one, al-muqatilu wa huwa kullu muslimin mukallafin dhakarin. The fighter, the mujahid, is the Muslim who is baligh, who is male, who is aqil, this individual must be sane. The author doesn't mention, but we can add in mustati', you must have the ability to fight. Not that you are very old and you are unable to fight. No, you must be mustati', you must have the ability. Also, the scholars put a condition that you must be hur, you must be free, you must be a free individual. These individuals here, they are the mujahideen, they are the fighters. This is when it comes to fard kifaya type of jihad, communal obligation type of jihad. We don't ask the women to fight, we don't ask the kids to fight, we don't ask the old to fight, we don't ask the slaves to fight, etc. But if it is fard ayn jihad, where the enemy is pounced upon you, they're in the following street, they are making their way towards you. Here, there's no choice whether you're male, female, kid, old, young, whether you're paralyzed, whatever you can do, you need to do to defend, insha'Allah. So here we're talking about when it's a communal obligation, insha'Allah. So author states, فَيُقَاتِلُ كُلُّ قَوْمٍ مَعَ مَنْ يَلِيهِمْ مِنَ الْعَدُوِ. And for example, every group, they fight the enemy who is closest to them. They fight the enemy who is closest to them. So in some large city, then you on the east, you know, you fight the enemy who's attacking you from that direction, insha'Allah. Also, when we say that the mujahid is the Muslim, so what if we have a disbeliever who wants to assist us, wants to help us? Then according to the madhab, you can take the assistance, you can take the assistance of the disbeliever in jihad in times of darura. Only in times of darura, in times of dire necessity, then we can use their assistance, insha'Allah. We can make use of their assistance, insha'Allah. وَلَا بُدَّ لِكُلِّ جَيْشٍ مِّنْ أَمِيرٍ لَا يُقَاتَلُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Every army, cavalry, etc., they need to be under the command of an amir, insha'Allah. The general amir of the Muslims, and also an amir of their expedition. وَلَا يُحْدَثُ حَدَثٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And they shouldn't do anything except with the permission of this imam, except with the permission of their amir. Also important that the fard kifaya type of jihad, you need the permission of your father and your mother. You need the permission of your Muslim father and mother. You also need the permission of the individual that you might be owing money to. You can't go out in battle and jihad, mashallah, and you are owing me $10,000. You need to sort this out. Have you left somebody behind with the money? Have you made arrangements to pay me? If you come to me and you seek my permission for you to go out and fight in jihad, which is communal obligation, and I give you the permission, alhamdulillah. But otherwise, I might be afraid. You go out, mashallah, you get your shahada. But what about my money? What about my $10,000? Subhanallah. Look at the adl of al-Islam. Look at the justice of al-Islam. Here you need to get the permission of your father, your mother. You need to get the permission of the creditor, inshallah. You need to have the general permission of the imam of the Muslims. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ. That needs correction. Not مِثْلِهِمْ, but rather مِثْلَيْهِمْ. مِثْلَيْهِمْ. Correct that. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ. It's not permissible for the Muslims to flee from an enemy which is double their size. So we are 10,000, the enemy is 20,000. Can we flee? No, we cannot flee. Can we leave the battlefield? No, we cannot leave the battlefield. I am fighting and there's two of the enemy in front of me. Can I run away? No, you cannot run away. But if it's three, if it's 25,000, 23,000, the enemy is more than double our size, then it would be permissible. If the enemy is more than double the size of the Muslims, then it would be permissible for them to flee if there is benefit, if there is maslaha in them fleeing. Important. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ الْفِرَارُ مِنْ مِثْلَيْهِمْ. Not permissible for the Muslims to flee from an enemy which is double their size. But if the enemy is more than double their size, then it would be permissible for them to flee. It's not wajib for them to flee, but it would be permissible, inshallah. But if the enemy is double your size, then you have to fight. The enemy is 1.5 times your size, you have to fight. And most battles in the history of Al-Islam, the Muslims were more then, you know, the enemy was more than twice or thrice or maybe even four times the size of the Muslims. And in many of those circumstances, the Muslims were victorious. Walhamdulillah, masha'Allah. وَإِذَا ظَفَرَ الْجَيْشُ لَمْ يَحْرِقُوا وَلَمْ يَقْطَعُوا الشَّجَرُ وَلَا يَتْلِفُوا شَيْئًا بِلَا مَنْفَعَ. And if, for example, the Muslims regain access to the certain area, we get control over a certain area, we shouldn't be burning and destroying and make into ruin the area. We shouldn't be burning the trees and cutting down and doing all of this destruction. That is not from the etiquettes and the manners and the behavior of a Muslim fighter. وَلَمْ يَقْطَعُوا الشَّجَرُ, should not be cutting down the trees. وَلَا يَتْلِفُ شَيْئًا بِلَا مَنْفَعَ, don't break anything, put it into ruin without any benefit. If there is benefit, it would be allowed. If there's no benefit, then it's not allowed. But what if, for example, there's no benefit for us, but it would really hurt the enemy? It would really hurt the enemy if we did this. Then here there is khilaf in the madhab, and officially the madhab allows this. Walhamdulillah. Walmuqatil, the one we fight against, kullu harbi, every harbi. Harbi is this aggressor, the one who is fighting against you, who is laysa bidhimmi, he doesn't have a treaty of dhimma with us. Wala musta'man, he doesn't have a treaty of aman with us. In إِذَا كَانَ بَالِغًا عَاقِلًا ذَكَرًا, if this person is baligh, they are sane and they are males. Also, this person does not have an ahd with us. So he's not a mu'ahad. He's not a mu'ahad. With regards to لَيْسَ بِذِمِّي, ذِمِّي is the one who lives in the Muslim land and they pay the jizya and they have our protection. Walhamdulillah. So that's the ذِمِّي. Then we have somebody who is مُسْتَأْمَن. He's like somebody who enters the Muslim lands and we give him aman. Any Muslim out there can say, I give this person protection and nobody else can interfere, can harm him, etc., etc. And this is muakkat, it's a temporary type of pass, like a visa that we use today. And this here would be a maximum of 10 years, inshallah. This is aqd, aman, and we call the person who we gave the aman to the musta'man, walhamdulillah. Then we also have, the author doesn't mention, the mu'ahad, where we have a Muslim entity and a non-Muslim entity. For example, the Muslim state and the non-Muslim state, whether they be Jews, Christians, or whatever they might be, and we have a treaty between us. We have a treaty between us. This is enacted by the Imam of the Muslims, and it must not be something which is, you know, in perpetuity, something for eternity. No, there must be a limit, 10, 20, 50, 100 years, etc. And so, as long as this individual is not a dhimmi, who is from the Jews, the Christians, or the Majus, according to the madhab, and living within the Muslim state, paying the jizya, so he's not a dhimmi, he doesn't have a hudna with us, there's no ahd between us, he's not a musta'man, then this individual fighting against us is in the category of the harbi. And the harbi is not women, not children, not the old, not the monk in the monastery who's not fighting, not the blind, rather it's the man who is a fighter, who is aqil, who is mature, who is dhakar, male, etc. وَإِذَا ظَفَرَ بِهِ, and if we got hold of one of these enemy combatants, if we get hold of any of the harbis, خُيِّرَ الْإِمَامِ فِيهِ بَيْنَ الْقَتْلِ, the Imam of the Muslims has options. What options? Number one, you can execute this individual. Or man, setting this person completely free, let him go. Or for example, fida, where we exchange him, ransom him for some money, or ransom him for another Muslim prisoner that the enemy might have. So those are options. There's also the option of, putting him into slavery. So those are four options that the Muslim Imam has over the Harbi prisoners. Excellent. But with regards to, we have these women who are prisoners, we have these children who are prisoners, etc. Here the option of killing them is not an option on the table. Why? Because they were not fighting. But what if we had these women and we have this priest, you know, they were revving up the enemy against us and they were assisting the enemy and etc. Can we fight them? Yes, we most definitely can fight them.
وَمَنْ قَتَلَهُ فِي حَالِ الْحَرْبِ مُنْهَمِكًا عَلَيْهِ فَلَهُ سَلَبُهُ,
And whoever kills another, he kills the Harbi, he kills the enemy combatant in the thick of battle while the enemy is fighting him. فَلَهُ سَلَبُهُ Then you can take the clothing, the arms, the gold, the silver that the enemy combatant has on him. You can take that which he has on him that belongs to you because you are the one who killed him. وَمَنْ بَدَلَ مِنْهُمْ الْجِزْيَةَ حَرُمَ عَلَيْنَا قَتْلُهُ And whoever pays the jizya from amongst the enemy, the Ahlu Dhimma, they are living, they are paying the jizya, etc. Or they are living within the Muslim state and they are paying the jizya, then here we are not allowed to fight them. وَكَذَلِكَ كُلُّ مَنْ أَمَّنَهُ مُسْلِمٌ Also, any of these individuals that a Muslim granted him protection, a Muslim gave him the aqd, the contract of aman, then we must respect this insha'Allah. وَيَصِحُ أَمَانْ كُلُّ مُسْلِمٍ ذَكَرْ وَأُنْثَى And every Muslim out there, male or female, can give this contract, this protection, this aman to any of the other, insha'Allah. وَكُلُّ مَنْ قَتَلَ مُسْلِمًا But if any of these people, they break the contract, how? They kill a Muslim, or zana bi Muslim, or they commit zina with a Muslim, or sabba Allah wa Rasoola, or they swear Allah, they slander Allah and the Rasul, in taqada ahduhu, his contract is now nullified. His contract is nullified, and then he becomes like the four options that the Muslim has over the Harbi prisoner. Remember the Harbi prisoner, we can execute, we can set free, we can ransom, put them into slavery. And so those are the four options which are on the table for the one who broke his contract. وَالْمَغْنُومْ مِنْهُمْ الْمَالْ وَالْأَرْضِ And as for the ghanima, we divide it into two categories. Number one is wealth and number two, land. As for the wealth, we divide it into five portions. Four-fifths, we divide amongst the fighters, the mujahideen. And one-fifth, this we divide as per the noble Qur'an, Suratul Anfal, verse number 41. We divide here, لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى Family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَالْيَتَامَى The third-fifth, وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ The poor, etc., the destitute, and lastly, Ibn al-Sabil. So four-fifths are given to the fighters, And one-fifth is divided into five portions and each fifth of that last fifth is divided as per the verses in Suratul Anfal, verse number 41, Walhamdulillah. وَالْمُصَالَحَةُ Or then as for the ard, the ard, فَالْمَالُ يُخَمِّسُهُ الْإِمَامُ The wealth is divided into five categories, كَمَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ As Allah mentions in the Noble Qur'an. As for the earth, as for the land, فَيُخَيِّرَ الْإِمَامُ بَيْنَ وَقْفِهَا وَقَسْمِهَا The Imam has two options. Either divide it amongst the fighters or make it a waqf for the Muslims as Umar radiallahu ta'ala had done in those early days. وَالْمُصَالَحَةُ This is now that we come together and we find some sort of common ground, we have some sort of an agreement between us to stop the fighting, cease fire, etc. So here the author states, إِنْ كَانَتْ عَلَى نَفْسٍ بِمَالٍ This musalaha, this agreement not to fight, etc. If it is, عَلَى نَفْسٍ بِمَالٍ It is for the safety of the humans, etc., the fighters, بِمَالٍ And so some money is being paid. Either they are paying as jizya or sometimes out of darura, the Muslims might be forced to pay something. And so for cessation of hostilities, the Muslims might be paying something. Allahu musta'an. أو على ترك قتال مدة Or we just agree to stop fighting, nobody's paying anything. And this is a hudna, this is like a ceasefire, a treaty insha'Allah. أو على أرض بأن لنا عليها الخراج Or we give them the land, so we have control over the land, the rules of Islam apply, and they can live on the land, but they need to give us the land tax, insha'Allah. Mata aradna akhrajnahum. And whenever we decide that we want to remove them from this area, we can do that. You can live here now, we're not sure, 10, 20, 30, 40 years. When we decide we want you to exit, then you will have to exit. أو لهم ولنا خراج عليها أي ذلك فعل جاز أو على أرض بأن لها جيد أو لهم ولنا خراج عليها Or for example, they can, the same thing, they can live on the land. The land owned by the non-Muslims, it's under the state. It remains with them in exchange for a percentage of the produce. So there's either, the author mentions, the lands owned by the Islamic state, this is leased to the non-Muslims in exchange for a percentage of the produce, the kharaj. However, the occupiers must leave the land at any time we request, as discussed. Lands owned by non-Muslims. So this land is their land, owned by them under the state. It remains with them in exchange. This one here, we cannot ask them just to leave because this belongs to them. But here they will have to give us an exchange of the produce, the kharaj tax, insha'Allah. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, with that, we conclude the matters pertaining to jihad, insha'Allah. As you've noticed, this book, Kitab Furu' al-Fiqh, it is the most mukhtasar of the Hanbali texts available, insha'Allah. Very, very concise, walhamdulillah. The whole chapter of jihad only in 2 pages. It gives us a bird's eye view with regards to matters, insha'Allah. And that's very, very important for any beginner student of knowledge, walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, remember, if your knowledge is above average, your ibadah, your akhlaq, your character also supposed to be above average. Until we meet again, we ask Allah to keep you blessed. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.